We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
It's Jesus, only Jesus, right, church? I love that song and appreciate so much those who in our church serve so faithfully, and just so grateful for the many servant-minded, servant-hearted people that we have here at Faith Baptist Church, and so grateful for those who give and dedicate themselves, who love the Lord. And I tell you, this morning I was walking down the hallway in our education building, and I walked past the nursery, and it was already a war zone going on in there, and just so thankful for our nursery workers and our greeters and our ushers, our guys in the sound here first thing this morning, bright and early, a little after 7 o'clock. Can we just thank everyone who serves Jesus Christ here in our church? And I want you to know that just because it's summertime, ministry doesn't stop. You guys know that, right? In fact, Pastor Micah just texted me a few moments ago, and he said, we just got the number. He said, Pastor, I thought you should know that definitely was the largest attendance at the 8 o'clock. We had 107 folks in there at 8 o'clock service, and so praise God for those, and praise God for you, and I'm excited this morning to worship together. I have to make a confession this morning about something before we kind of get going here. I have to tell you that the summer months, the summertime, are not my favorite time of year. Is anybody with me on that, or am I alone? Anybody else not like the summer very much? Oh, there's like seven of you, all the spiritual people. Praise the Lord. I'm much more a winter guy. I like colder weather. Every time it rains, I'm happy. Angela's like, you are so weird, Todd. I don't understand you. Anybody else like me, you like the rain? Yeah, more spiritual people. Great. And so when God led us to Florida, I was like, Lord, like list of 1 to 10, Florida's 12. Like, what is happening right now? And so, but here's what I know. It is 197 days till Christmas. How many of you like Christmas time? Oh, way more hands. How many of you are a humbug? Yeah. All right, let's pray for these dear people at this time. I love Christmas time, and I have had to make a serious personal adjustment living in Florida. I don't know if you're like me, but it does seem weird to celebrate Christmas in 80-degree weather in shorts and t-shirts, right? I mean, it seems our first Christmas here, it was like that. It was so warm outside, and we had some friends come down, and they're like, hey, come over, we'll go swimming. And I was like, this is not Christmas, God, this is not. And so I've learned to adjust, and I have found out after going up north a couple of times now since I've been here, I have found out that after living in Florida, here's one thing that you know will happen to you: your blood will thin out. And what you used to love as 50 and 60 degree weather, you need a jacket now, and a hat, and gloves, and a scarf. I mean, it's cold, right? So sometimes it's a little weird talking about Christmas in Florida, especially in June, but the truth is there would be no Christmas without Christ, and so talking about Christmas any time of year is just fine. Amen, church? For most people, though, they simply miss the meaning and the significance of Christmas. And while people understand that Christmas is a holiday, they have little to no idea why we're celebrating it. Let me just get this on the table this morning, that Christmas is not just some special day on the calendar we celebrate and get presents. You see, Christmas is about the Christ who came to earth to save the world from the punishment of sin, church. This is what Christmas is. This is why we have Christmas. And one of the things we do at Christmas, we do this in our home, you probably do it in your home as well, is we give gifts. Am I the only guy up here that gives gifts at Christmas? How many of you give gifts at Christmas? Come on, church. Bunch of stingy Scrooges out here, I know, right? How many of you love to get presents? You could be honest in church, don't lie. It's okay, you're like, not really, but I accept them, you know. You do not. You love getting presents. We all love to get a present. And when we talk about Christmas and we talk about presents, you know, the truth is that I have found that people do love to receive a gift. And when you think about a present and it's beautifully wrapped and it's done up nice and it's under the tree, there's something about it, and you sort of think to yourself, wow, you see the wrapping, you see that it's for you, and there's a little bit of anticipation in your heart, isn't there? You're thinking, what is what? What's in there? How many of you are wondering what's in this box? Yeah. Yeah, some of you are wondering, okay? And Paul, would you help me for a minute? Come on, you're in the message. This is awesome. Yeah. So Paul, this is a gift, and yeah, listen, hold on now. I want you to... This is the guy who was unwrapping gifts under the tree and then wrapping them back up, right? So Paul, I want you to do something. I just want you to open this gift. Okay, this is for you. I want you to, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, it's for you.
You have to tie it up also.
I didn't tie it. One of the secretaries tied that.
No, I think the thing that's...
Yeah, you can mutilate it. Just do it like you do it at home. Right, Francine?
Yes.
Yeah, just like at home. Okay.
Actually, I'm very careful when I open gifts.
Are you?
And I'm very careful.
Well,
he's very careful. Wrap this thing, really.
Yeah. Some of you are like, I can't wait to open it up.
I don't want the whole service to go on.
It's okay. If we're late, it's his fault. All right, so what's in there? Open that up.
Just as I suspected.
Nothing. There's nothing in there, right? There's nothing in there. Now, how many of you, can we give Paul a hand for helping the sermon there, right? You know, when you look at this, here's what you discover. This is what life is like for so many people. Their life may be wrapped up externally and it looks good. They got a lot of things externally that you would think, wow, they've got their life in order and life looks great for them. This is how life is for a lot of people. When you unwrap it and you unpack it and you begin to look into their life, and for people who are, some of you may be here today, when you look at your life and you get away from all of the wrappings and everyone else and the facade that you put on, everything looks great, but when you look at your life, here's what it is. It's empty. And friends, I want us to understand something this morning on this, the second to last name of God that we're going to see today. Please note this morning, that life without Jesus is empty. Life without Jesus is empty. How many people unpack their lives and unwrap their lives only to discover that there's nothing there? It's a hollow shell. It looks good. It looks nice. But when you really get in, there's no depth. There's no life. There's no Jesus. It's just hurt, frustration, and discouragement, and a whole lot of emptiness. Friends, life without Jesus is empty, and God knew that life would be empty, and so he did something. He sent his son Jesus to fill our life with joy and happiness. He sent us himself. He sent us Emmanuel. He gave us himself in the form of Jesus. The name Emmanuel means God with us. Emmanuel, the very essence of God. And he came to reveal the Father in the flesh. Matthew chapter 1, if you want to turn in your Bibles, you can. I've got lots of different passages this morning. That's why it says selected text. I'm bringing all of them onto the screen this morning so you can see the verses as we go through these together. Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name. Come on, church, say it together. She'll call his name what?
Jesus.
Why? Because he's going to save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled that was spoken of by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child. She shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, say it, church, God with us. The essence of Christmas. The essence of Christmas is Emmanuel, the name, God with us. God with us. Say that with me. God with us. If you miss this, we miss Christmas and we miss Christ. And all we wind up with is songs and lights and food and programs and activities and presents, but no deity. But no deity. You see, many people today want to celebrate Christmas with presents, but they do not have the presence of Christ in their life. They miss the whole point of Emmanuel. They miss the whole point of Christmas. They miss it. I was reading a story this week about a man who was doing some Christmas shopping for his father, and he wanted to find the perfect present for his dad. And so he was looking around, and he came past this pet store, and he walked in there, and there was this parakeet that could speak five languages and sing the Yellow Rose of Texas standing on one foot. And so he thought to himself, this would be the perfect gift for my dad. This would be the perfect Christmas present. And so he buys the parakeet, boxes it up, pays the exorbitant amount of money, sends this parakeet to his dad. One day passes, 2 days pass, 3, 4, 5 days. Finally, he's like, man, what in the world? So he calls his father. He says, Dad, did you get the gift I sent you? He said, yes, I did, son. Thank you. He said, well, Dad, what did you think? He said, son, that bird tasted so good. It was so delicious. The man's father completely missed the point, didn't he, church? He completely missed the point. And in the same way, church, so many people missed the point of why Emmanuel came. Jesus Christ paid a high price, not so you can have a turkey dinner and have a family celebration and open presents at Christmas. He paid the price so that you can understand that he is Emmanuel, the God-man, and that he came to give us eternal peace, church. This is why he came. This is Emmanuel, God with us. Please note this morning, that Emmanuel gives our life meaning and purpose, and it is Emmanuel who makes Christmas worth celebrating. And in 197 days, we will be celebrating the birth of Emmanuel, church. It is Emmanuel, this name of God, this name that we were just singing. His is the name above all names. He fulfills all things. Jesus came not only to do the Father's will, but to represent God the Father so we would know and experience what it is like to have God with us. Some of you know the story of when Jesus was about to go to the cross and he had an intimate meeting with his disciples. He made a very telling statement to them. When he told them I was leaving, he said, I'm leaving, I'm going. And they were freaking out. They were like, you can't go. You're not going. And remember, Peter, he's like, well, I'm going with you. Jesus said, no, it doesn't work like that. He said, it's better for me to go because after I go, another will come, the comforter. Jesus says, it's better for me to go because when I'm gone, I will be with you and in you for how long? Ever, ever. The eternal, ever-abiding presence. Paul says in Colossians that when Jesus came, Jesus was the image of the invisible God. What does God look like? One of my favorite stories is about the kids who were coloring in Sunday school. You've heard this before, haven't you? A little kid was coloring, and the teacher came over and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm drawing a picture of God. And the teacher said, well, nobody knows what God looks like. He said, well, they will when I get done. Philip said, show us the Father. And Jesus says, have I been with you so long? Jesus said, if you've seen me, what? You've seen the Father. Jesus is the image. John says the Word became flesh and dwelt, literally lived, walked, breathed, ate, slept, suffered, cried, dwelt among us. And we have seen the only begotten Son. But here's what we need to understand about Emmanuel. Three things this morning, three thoughts, if you will, three important truths to anchor your soul to. Number one, Jesus has always existed. That's a great spot for an amen. I'll give you another shot at it, okay? Jesus has always existed. Amen. See, all the way back in Genesis, God said, let us make man in our image. Many of you know the phrase in the scripture that says, and we just read it back in Matthew, that a virgin's going to conceive and she's going to bear a son. And we're going to read this passage in a minute. Please notice the distinction of the passage that I just read earlier in Matthew. The Bible says that a child would be born, but a son would be given. Notice the phraseology and notice the way that is written. That a child would be born, but a son would be given. A son would be given because the son always existed before the child was born. Do we understand that? The son already existed. He said a child's going to be born, but the son is going to be given. And scripture details for us the incarnation of Jesus. Now, I don't know, how many of you in here struggle with scripture memorization? That's most of us. Okay, the rest of you must be awesome Bible scholars. That's great. Committing scripture to memory is one of the most important things you can do. And I want to urge you this morning, if you have not memorized this passage that I'm about to share with you, I want to ask you to say, okay, Lord, help me to memorize this passage of Scripture. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. I want you to read it with me as we come together now, all right? This is the public reading of the scriptures in God's house. Paul said we should do this. The Bible commands us to read publicly aloud the scriptures. That's why a lot of times I want you to participate so you're not just sitting there, you're engaging. So if you're ready to read, say amen.
Amen.
Here we go. Let's start. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This verse encapsulates the incarnation of Jesus. Every Christian should memorize this. You should put this in your heart and realize this is what Jesus did. The prophecy of Isaiah was retold by Matthew. It was fulfilled. Paul explains this to us as New Testament Christians, but all the way back in Isaiah, here's what the prophet said. The Lord himself should give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name what?
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel. Emmanuel. You say, why did God do that? Please note this, that God wanted us to know the Messiah, Jesus Christ, that he would come to deal not only with our earthly enemies, but also with sin and its consequences. This is why. God said, I'm coming, and I'm coming in the form of my son, and I'm sending my son to the cross to deal with the enemies and also to deal with your sin. Now, what's interesting is this prophecy was spoken in the 7th chapter, but if you are to read on in Isaiah chapter 9, you come across this verse. This is the best verse in the Bible about Christmas. You're like, I think there's better ones. You're wrong. This is the best one, okay? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Read this together. Ready? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called. Nice and loud. Ready? Wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This sums up Jesus. This sums up who he is and what he was going to do. Several years ago, 3 or 4 years ago now, maybe even 5, I did a series over Christmas, and I took every single one of these names about Jesus and I talked about them in a Christmas series. Because this was the names that God gave to Jesus through the prophet Isaiah. And it was in these prophecies. Look at these names. Let's leave the verse on the screen for a minute. Look at these names. Wonderful. Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, when you look at these words and you look at these descriptions of Jesus, this was describing what Jesus was going to look like, what he was going to do, and how he was going to do it. Now, if you were a Jew and you read this, you got all excited because you thought, yeah, finally someone's going to show up and put things in order. Someone's going to come up and put these enemies in their place. Someone's going to come and do. And so here's what happened. When Jesus came, his own people missed him because he wasn't what they expected. And do you know a lot of people are still missing Jesus because Jesus is doing things that they are surprised by. Jesus broke every tradition, every custom. Jesus was outside the box. They wanted this ruler. They wanted to come and say, yes, this is our ruler. We're going to fall down and worship him. And everybody's going to just say, yes, this is our God. And he's going to wipe out all these kingdoms. And he's going to be the king. And they were waiting for Jesus to come with the sword. Now, by the way, he is coming with a sword. That comes later. Jesus had to come and die for sin and bring peace first before he could come with the sword. You say, why is Jesus not returned to earth right now? Let me help you with that. Let me help you with that. It's one word. It's called grace. And every second Jesus tarries is another second for someone to come into the kingdom. Every second Jesus tarries is another second for someone to change their life. Every second Jesus tarries is a second for you, sir, and you, ma'am, to get your heart right. He's waiting. It's another. I don't know why he's waiting. That's why I'm not God. This whole thing would have been over a long time ago, right? No more waiting. Let's go. And God says, no, not yet. Not yet. And you know what I've discovered about Jesus? Maybe you have too. We miss Jesus too, and we can be in church and we can miss what God is saying to us and we can miss what Christ is doing. And here's why, because Jesus doesn't operate the way we think he should. And some of you are going to be disappointed because Jesus will do things that will shock you.
like the time he was giving a woman a drink who was a harlot, and she was a Jew and a Samaritan in the same body. She was a Jew and a Gentile in the same body. She was a Samaritan. That's what a Samaritan is. A Samaritan was a Jew, half Gentile, same body. They were hated. But in that woman, you know, there's a beautiful picture, right? Note this. In that woman, between the Jew and the Gentile in one body, did you know that was a future picture of the church? A Jew and a Gentile in the same body. And do you know that Jesus spoke to that woman, put value to her life, talked to her, and even was willing to put his lips on the same cup that she was? And so here come his disciples back from getting lunch, and they see Jesus, and they're like, he's talking to a woman, and not just any woman. What's going on? Here's what I've discovered about Christ. He will do things that will blow your mind. You say, why? Because he's wonderful. Because he's the counselor. Because he understands us and people better than we understand ourselves. Because he is the mighty God. Because he is the everlasting Father. And because he's the Prince of Peace. You see, Jesus has always existed, church. And because he's always existed, what we understand is that Jesus exposed us to God the Father. Jesus exposed us to God the Father. Jesus was clear on his mission. His mission was threefold. Those of you that went gold stars at the end of your sermon notes, here you go, okay? This is not coming onto the screen, but you might want to take note of this today. Three things that Jesus came. Here was his mission summed up. Number one, to show us the Father. What is God like? Look at Jesus. What would God do? Look at Jesus. How would God handle something? Look at Jesus. You want to know what God is like? Look to his Son. Right, church? Look to his Son. Read the scriptures. People say, I want to know more about God. Study the life of Christ. He came to show us the Father. Number two, he came to do the will of God. He came to do the will of the Father. You say, Jesus, what are you doing today? I'm doing God's will. He said, I do always those things that please the Father. His whole life and mission was about pleasing the Father. He came to do the will of the Father. He came to show us the Father. And number three, and I love this one because this is where you and I come into the picture, right? He came to bring us into a relationship with the Father. He came to bring us, you and I, into a relationship with the Father. And as Christians, we now have been given the ministry of reconciliation. You see, the truth is, without Emmanuel, we have no chance of really understanding God, church. Without Emmanuel, we don't ever really understand who God is and why God does what he does. It doesn't make sense to us. It's not till you understand Jesus, only Jesus, that does God begin to make any sense. And so, I'm going to do something I haven't ever really done before. It worked at 8 o'clock. I hope it works now. They say when you have multiple services, they say by your last service, you get it all worked out. So, you guys are the middle child. Amen? We got any middle children? All right, so you know how this goes, okay? I'm going to take us through every single name of God that we have learned. And I'm going to, by God's grace, in the next few moments, show you how Jesus has fulfilled every single name of God. You guys want to do this? You ready for do this? You ready? Ready? I'm going to show us. I'm going to walk us through. I'm going to paraphrase some passages. I'm going to quote some scriptures. I'm going to say some phrases. I'm going to give some illustrations, but we're going to move quickly. If you take notes, get ready. Get ready, because we're going to move through this rapidly, okay? So here we go. You guys ready? Say amen. Here's the first name, Elohim. Elohim, everybody say Elohim. Elohim. Elohim, this is the strong creator God. How was Jesus in this picture? How was Jesus involved? Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. In him, Jesus, all things were created, things under heaven and things on earth, visible and invisible, whether there's thrones or powers or dominions or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. Speaking of Jesus, you guys see that? Elohim, the creator God. Number two, Jehovah. Jehovah. Everybody say Jehovah. Jehovah. This is the relational God. This is the God who has come to relate to us and to have a relationship with us. And Jesus demonstrated this and fulfilled this in John chapter 17. He said, I and them and you and me, so that they may be brought into complete unity, so that we may be one, that the world will know. Jesus is praying that you have sent me and you have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus says, I want this relationship. Just as we have it, Father, I want them to have it. And do you know today that if you don't know Christ, he wants a relationship with you. He wants to introduce you to his Father, Jehovah, and then Adonai. Adonai, say it with me. Adonai, the God who rules. The God who rules. I won't say much on this one except to say that Jesus makes a bold statement in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. He says, why call you me Lord, Lord? We know that the word Adonai is the English word Lord. We talked about that. Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say. If Jesus is our Lord and our Master, if he is the one who rules our life, then shouldn't our life be marked by obedience, church? Yes. Jesus fulfilled this as Lord. And then note this one, Jehovah Jireh. Say that with me, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider, the Lord our provider. Jesus makes a telling statement about this in John chapter 6 and verse 35 when he says, I am the bread of life. Are you hungry today, sir? Are you hungry, ma'am? I want you to know Jesus is your provider. He is the bread of life. He comes to give you life. It is in his life that we find new life. Jesus said, whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus meets every single spiritual craving you ever have in your life, and he will fill you completely because he is Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Saba. Say that with me, Jehovah Saba. Some of you didn't take a good shot at it. Let's try it again. Jehovah Saba. Say it, Jehovah Saba. This is the Lord our warrior. The Lord our warrior. And this is an amazing passage, but it's a terrifying verse in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. It says, I saw heaven opened up and standing, and before me was a white horse whose rider is called, speaking of Jesus, faithful and true, and with justice he judges and rages war. Friends, Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, he's coming on a horse, and he's not coming to play games. He's coming to rage war and clean house and make things right again because he is faithful and true. Not only is he our warrior, but he helps us every day fight our battles. He is Jehovah Saba. Jesus fulfilled this name of God. He is also Jehovah Shalom. Say that with me. Jehovah Shalom. This is the Lord our peace. The Lord our peace. And the world is looking for peace today. Jesus made this statement. I have told you these things so that in me you might have, John 16, 33, you might have peace. I have told you these things. I have shared with you these things. I want you to know these things. I want you to have these things in your heart so that you might have peace. He is Jehovah Rohi. Say that with me. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. The Lord, my shepherd. John 10, 27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. How do you know you're a Christian? Because you say so? Because you go to church? Because you read your Bible? How do you know you're a Christian? Because you know the voice of God in your life and you follow him. Jesus said, I have fulfilled this. The Lord is my shepherd. And then Jehovah Nissi, say it with me, Jehovah Nissi. You guys are slacking off here. All right, here we go. Let's try it again. Jehovah Nissi. Okay, this is the Lord my banner. Okay, this is the Lord my banner. Jesus says this: in this world, you will have trouble. How many of you know that's a true statement? How many of you had some trouble this week? Raise your hand. I have some trouble your whole life. Okay. Jesus said, listen, I want you to know something. No mystery. This is why James and Paul says, don't get shocked. Don't act surprised when you got a problem. He says, oh, I got a problem. Yes, in this life you have trouble. But take heart, he says, because I have overcome the world, friend. He is our banner. We live and abide under him. Greater is he that is in you than he that is what? In the world. He is Jehovah Makedakishkem. Good luck. Jehovah Maketa Kishkem, okay? This is the Lord who sanctifies, okay? Let's just say that. The Lord who sanctifies. It is because of him, because of Christ in us, and through us and changing us. It is Christ who continues to work in us. Let me take a second. I got a few minutes, maybe. Let me just pause on this one and say that all of you here are at a different walk and a different season in your life. When God saved you, he called you out of this world and unto himself. But he also has a plan for you and a path for you and a purpose for you. What it means when it sanctifies you is that God is continuing to work in your life. Now, I wish we as God's family, as a believer, I wish we could understand this just a little better, because what that means is that all of us are at a different season and a different stage of where God is doing something in us. Do you guys understand what I'm saying right now? How many of you feel like you should have a sign on that says under construction? How many of you know God's not done with you yet? Okay. You guys ever seen a house being built? And at first you just see a pile of dirt. And then you see a foundation. And then you see bricks. And then you know, as it goes on. And at first, when you first see that, you're like, wow, that's nothing. And all of a sudden, wow, that's something. And then it's like, wow, that's taking so long, right? God is building a beautiful, beautiful thing in your life. And so can I just ask all of us in here as a family of faith, be patient with the people around you. God's working in them just like he's working in you. Be patient with people. Some of you are much further along in the construction process. And some of you are like, just laid the foundation. You're just getting things ready for the next phase. And those of us who are much further along can look at people who are kind of not quite there and go, man, I don't know why they act like that. And why are they doing that? How come? Because they're not as far along. But it's the same God who sanctifies us, isn't it, church? You see, it's the same God. It's the same Jesus who's working on us and in us and through us. Say that with me. On us, in us, through us. One more time. Now personalize it. On me, in me, and through me. Say it nice and loud.
On me, in me.
Exactly. Jehovah Mekedekishkem, the Lord who sanctifies. Note this, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. The Lord who heals. The Bible's clear in Matthew 4 that Jesus went about healing and touching the lives of people. And we talked about this extensively, about what that means and what the healing is. And can I tell you today, the greatest healing in your life that needs to take place is a spiritual healing. You need Jesus Christ in your life to heal your life from the curse of sin. And he came to do that. The next one is Jehovah Sekenu. Say that with me. Jehovah Sekenu. One more time. Jehovah Sekenu. This is the Lord our righteousness. The Bible says God made him who had no sin, okay? He made him to what? Take that sin upon him so that we might become the what? Righteousness of God. Here's what this means for you. Here's what it means for me. I'm glad this morning when I got up, God didn't see Todd Adams. He saw the blood of Jesus Christ. I have the righteousness of Christ, Jehovah Sekenu. And then El Elyon, the Most High God, the Most High God. The scripture says, then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever and ever and. Okay, that's what the verse means. There's a period there in the English language, just so we understand, you just don't keep writing ever, but this is what's going on, because when we get to heaven, this is what we will do. We will praise him forever and ever and ever, because he is El Elyon, because of what Jesus has done. And then the one we learned last week, you guys got to know this one, El Shaddai. Say it with me. This is Lord God Almighty. You guys remember the song that was sung last Sunday by our guys? The Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, he who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Church, from the beginning of the world to its end, Jesus is the visible manifestation of God's character and names. From the beginning to the end, we see this. There is no place on earth that you cannot look and not see Jesus. The Bible says in Colossians, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Can I just let you guys know a little secret? There's no reason to panic. God's got it all together. Amen? There's no reason to panic. He's got it all together. In Christ, we see this. the most unique person in human history, God in the flesh, Emmanuel. And that's why, number three, Jesus is exalted over all. Jesus is exalted over all. The theme of our church is exalting Christ, and this is something we have to do personally. It's also something we do corporately. Christ is worthy, and he will be. He will be exalted. The Bible says that every knee is going to bow. In fact, how many of you remember the passage we looked at earlier in Philippians that talked about the incarnation of Jesus, right? Well, there's another section. You're like, I have to memorize that too? Yes. Okay, not just one. Let's get it all. So let's go to Philippians 2, 9 through 11. It'll be on the screen. Let's read it together. Ready? Wherefore, I don't hear anybody. Start again. Ready? Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Notice the first phrase, God hath highly exalted him. Do you see that? He is exalted. That's why you'll see banners in the church. You're seeing signs being hung up. You're seeing everything on our literature that we are exalting Christ. This is what we want to do. Here's my thought processes. I don't think we ought to wait to get to heaven. Let's start doing it right now. Let's start putting Christ over all that we're doing, which leads me to three questions as I close this morning. Number one, here's the questions before the house. Have I welcomed Emmanuel into my life? Have I welcomed Emmanuel into my life? What this means is, have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Are you saved? Do you know that you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ? Because salvation, while it happens in an instant, it's proved out over a lifetime, dear friend. Don't look to a prayer you prayed. Don't look to the place you prayed or the time you prayed. I cannot tell you the exact spot I was at. I cannot give you a date and time. I can't even tell you the exact prayer I prayed, but I know who I prayed to. And I know where I placed my faith. You see, the proof is not in your prayer of your salvation. The proof is the pattern of your life that you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ and that you're seeking to follow after him, church. And this week, here in our church, I had the wonderful, wonderful experience of leading a couple to Jesus Christ in my office. They're actually sitting right here. I'm not going to embarrass them anymore. They're just laughing and giggling away now. But they were reached by a family in our church. They were neighbors. They came on Friend and Family Day. They had an understanding of Jesus. They had a knowledge of Christ. And the more we began to talk, the more I began to look, I noticed their faces kind of began to change. And they kind of had the furrowed look like, what are you talking about, Willis? And isn't that what happened, guys? Yeah. And I said, well, we've prayed. And I remember I gave an illustration to him. I said, Robert, Don, I said, if I take this box here and this is a gift and it's for you, do you believe that gift is yours? And they said, yeah. I said, well, what do you have to do? And they said, in essence, well, we have to receive it. And I said, you know what? That's what Jesus is saying. You can believe in me, but you need to receive me. And Thursday afternoon, Robert and Don received Jesus Christ as their Savior. When I was 8 years old, I did the same thing. And if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to do that right now. Don't spend years of your life wondering and questioning and pondering and thinking, well, I was in a church or I prayed a prayer. That's not going to, can you imagine standing before God and you're like, well, I was in church once. It's not going to work. The question is, do you know his son? Number two, have I worshiped Emmanuel in a manner worthy of his name? Have I worshiped Emmanuel in a manner worthy of his name? How many of you know that worship is not just showing up for church and singing a few songs and, you know, putting a few 20s in the plate and saying, all right, God, I'm good for the week, right? Please tell me you know that's not worship. Worship, write this down. It's not on the screen. Gold star people only. Worship is displayed through joyful obedience to the one who gave his life for you. Worship is displayed through joyful obedience to the one who gave his life for you. How many of you know when I say the words family reunion? How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you have ever been to a family reunion? Yeah? Several of you? Okay. And do you know what church is? In essence, every single Sunday, it's a family reunion. We're coming together, we're gathering together, we're worshiping together, and who are we worshiping? Jesus, only Jesus. Because it's not about you, and it's not about me, and it's not about our agendas, it's not about our programs, it's about who? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, here's what Sunday is. Sunday should be a representation of what has been happening privately all week long. So if you come to church and worship is weird and worship is odd and you're not singing and you're not engaged and you don't have your Bible and you're not in tune and you're not listening, you're not connected, it's a good indication that maybe you haven't really been worshiping all week long. Because this family gathering and this time of worship should be something sweet, special, and precious, and it ought to be the highlight of your week. It ought to be what you look forward to. Like, I can't wait to go to church. You shouldn't wake up on Sunday and be like, oh, it's here again. We got to go to church. Yeah, now some days you feel like that. Just say amen. You don't want to admit that, but say amen, right? Some days I feel like that. Anyway, how many of you know that sometimes, I don't want to get in trouble, but how many of you know sometimes you have to have leftovers? That's just what's on the menu. I see your hands. Like, what's for dinner? Leftovers. You're like, yippee. How many of you have eaten your fair share of leftovers? I've told you this before. When Angela and I first got married, we were so poor. Really, we were. We were very poor. We couldn't even spell poor. It was P-O. We just P-O. We couldn't get the word done, you know? And she was such a, she still is to this day. I mean that. If you've eaten any of her food, you'll know what I'm saying is true. She's such an amazing cook, but she used to make what we called it now, three-day casserole. Because the third day, you prayed the missionary prayer. Lord, I'll put it down, you keep it down, right? And it was leftovers. And I used to look forward to when we would go into the next week, because then we would get our grocery money, our little budget, and we'd go to the store and we'd get groceries and there was something fresh coming for dinner. And we'd both be really excited about that. And can I tell you something? Some of you are constantly giving God the leftovers in your life. You're not worshiping him in a manner that's worthy. Let's not give God the leftovers. Let's give him the best, the choice. Let's give him our life. Amen, church? Let's not give him the leftovers. Let's not give him a three-day casserole. Let's worship him for who he is. And then, number three, have I witnessed about Emmanuel lately? Have I shared my faith lately? How many people do you know that this is their life? It's empty. We sing songs of praise and worship to our God, and there are people in our community. This is their life, church. It's empty. There's nothing in it. And we have the gift. We've been given the ministry of taking a gift, God's precious son, and saying, I want to introduce to you Jesus Christ. Who have you shared Emmanuel with lately? You know, the name Savior is the name of Jesus. The name Salvation is the name of Jesus. The name Deliverer is the name of Jesus. See, we talk about our salvation, we're talking about Jesus. Only who? Only Jesus. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want you to say that with me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. One more time. I am the
way, the truth, and the life.
This time say it like you mean it. I am the
way, the truth, and the life.
And then Jesus said these words, no man cometh to the Father but how? By me. You say, why did you have us do that? Because I want you to get this down. The only way to truly experience the power of God's names is found in Jesus. This entire series has been coming to this last statement. The only way to truly experience the power of God's names is found only in Jesus.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.